Good morning. A Wednesday morning, we're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, Democrats took full control of the Virginia legislature for the first time in more than two decades yesterday, while the race for governor in deeply Republican Kentucky was too close to call, despite a last-minute boost from President Donald Trump. Looks like it's leaning Democratic, so at least in those two major states, we have what seems like a tilt toward the left.
Well, the Kentucky story is really extraordinary. Of course, the Republican, who is deeply unpopular in that state, is saying that he won't give up. I mean, 5,000-6,000 votes can easily be overcome, I suppose, especially if everything isn't on the up and up. However, it does look like the Democrat may well have won, which is, of course, an important state because you know who comes from there, Mitch McConnell, and that is a bellwether. So we have a fairly conservative, moderate Democrat, and that's leading some of the political analysts on the TV and other places to say this is proof that if they nominate somebody like Joe Biden and not somebody who is of the Elizabeth Warren stripe, that the Democrats might do better. The national polls reflect a preference for Biden. Nevertheless, in some of the key states and the early states where the voting is, it does look like Biden is way down the list. So New Hampshire and places like that. Yet to South Carolina, it's going to be a very different story. So I'm just simply saying the question for Democrats is, do we nominate a more moderate who could win, or are we going to go with our passion? And boy, there is passion and really an antipathy towards Trump, and nominate somebody like Elizabeth Warren, who this morning is out telling the banks about their responsibilities. They, of course, are attacking her because she's expecting them to pay their fair share when her new Medicare for All program comes out. So will Democrats go with somebody they think is a sure winner, or will they go with somebody who expresses their passion and outrage and frustration with this president?
And so what about Virginia and the flip of the legislature?
Well, that's huge, David, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, it's been coming for quite a while. So Virginia is now going to be blue, but it's going to be blue in a year when they are going to be considering, getting ready to consider the composition of the legislature and the way in which the districts are drawn. That's also true in New York State, David. That's why this is so important. Because once the Democrats get control and make it a fairer process in terms of the so-called gerrymander in both states, it will lead to a more permanent situation, if you follow my drift.
Let's go a little closer to home, Alan. Troy Mayor Patrick Madden is claiming victory in his bid for a second four-year term. The Democrat edged former City Council President Rodney Wiltshire's third-party bid and Republican Tom Reel with about 44% of the vote. Wiltshire had the backing of about 38% of Troy voters, the rest going to Reel, who withdrew from the race in October before joining it last week. The issue, though, is an audio recording that came out of a meeting of the Republicans, as well as Rodney Wiltshire, of course, the third party, and rough and tumble politics were on display. And boy, would the sparks fly.
Well, David, if there's one thing that people, everybody, should learn is there is no such thing as a meeting which is not going to go recorded somewhere. And if somebody uses expletives, there are two things that can happen. One is that people can say, hey, that's really something, that's a good guy, you know, he talks his mind. Or they can say, we really don't need somebody like that leading us. So that's what happens when these tapes, quote, emerge. Everybody's got a tape recorder running, it seems. And the Democrat won anyway, despite the fact this internecine warfare that's going on between the big boys as to who is controlling the Republican operation. So while I am certainly not a resident of Troy, it does appear that this blow-up resulted in not much other than bloodletting on the Republican side.
Well, from there, let's go to the testimony of the ambassador to the European Union. That's Mr. Sondland, who revised his testimony yesterday and said that aid to Ukraine was linked to opening of an investigation that could damage presidential candidate Joe Biden.
This guy, he gave $1 million to Trump, so we know where his allegiances are. And all of a sudden, a lightning bolt came out of the sky, and he said, oh, yeah, I remember now, there was a quid pro quo mentioned here. Oh, yeah, there was that. Boy, does he look bad. Now, the question, of course, is why he decided that his interests were to tell the truth as opposed to the obfuscation, which we saw earlier. After all, he did show up in a time when a lot of people are not showing up. That shows that the lights must have been on late at his house while he rethought his position on all of this. You know, I think, David, that that's true of a lot of these people. They are caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. If they don't go, who knows what's down the road? Who knows if there's an impeachment or even if there's a conviction or if a district attorney says somewhere you didn't testify and we're going to hold you responsible? It's not that that's going to happen. It's that it could happen down the road. And so some people are going to get very, very anxious about the whole thing. And apparently, to some degree, that's what happened with Sondland.
You think this iceberg is going to break free before the election? In other words, will enough Republicans and people be fed up and want to move?
David, that's why these open hearings are so important. Because if stuff starts to come out, if you see certain people, I'm using the word people, deserting the ship, like Sondland, it could be a very, very bad piece of news for Donald Trump. As the hearings go on, and if more and more stuff comes out, there could be one of those aha whoosh moments that we have often talked about here.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Thank you, sir.
And thank you, David.